You are tuned in to Faith City Outreach with Marina Maria, the founder of Global Gospel Worship Radio. Marina interviews local pastors and global leaders, sharing their testimonies and the work they're doing for the Lord. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus reminds us, "Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We hope this program will encourage you to do just that. Now here's your host, Marina Maria.
Welcome to Faith City Outreach. This is Marina Maria with today's special guest, Mary Buckman, who is an ordained minister under Joan Hunter Ministries in Phoenix, Arizona. Her ministry, New Leaf Ministry, helps others experience transformation by applying the principles found in Biblical Foundations of Freedom by Art Mathias, which destroy Satan's lies with God's truth. Mary has been dedicated to bringing spiritual renewal, emotional freedom, and physical healing to others since 2009. Thank you, Mary, for being on Faith City Outreach to discuss today's important topic, the cause and cure of shame for women.
Thank you, Marina, for inviting me here today.
Mary, I know this topic is going to bless so many women, and so I look forward to hearing how God's wisdom and truth helps women experience emotional and physical freedom through Christ Jesus.
I'm happy to share what he has done in my life and many others.
What areas in life do women mostly experience shame?
Let's start with the definition. Shame, in and of itself, is when women feel that they cannot seem to get it together. They may appear perfect on the outside, but inside they feel very broken. They may believe they are, let's say, a bad mom, a fake, inadequate, not good enough. And that is basically the definition of shame, being defective, wanting to undo some aspects of oneself. With guilt, women also carry that, but they carry that from what they have done. They judge themselves that they made a mistake. And because women have very high expectations for themselves, they often beat themselves up when they aren't perfect.
Do you think women often feel guilty about their life choices?
Yes. Yes, we do. We make choices out of fear. We make choices out of maybe feeling trapped, not knowing what to do. Sometimes we make choices driven by a need that we don't even understand in ourselves. And then when we find ourselves making the same bad choice again, we start labeling ourselves and blaming ourselves. Well, why do we tend to do that? We have been taught that we have choices and that we are responsible and that we can do it all. And even in church circles, women are often seen as the one that are responsible for things that are going on, maybe some problems in the family. So we take it on ourselves, but it is also given to us by our culture, by our circles.
Do you think women make a lot of emotional choices?
Well, women are very emotional. That's our gift, isn't it? To be relational, emotional. And yes, we find ourselves reacting to things out of that emotional need, or maybe an emotional need of someone else. And I can share a story with you toward the end of when that happens. We often feel responsible because we think, oh, I should have known better. Oh, this wasn't a very good choice. Oh, I'm trapped in this. And then the cycle begins of beating ourselves up and feeling shame. And that causes a great deal of isolation.
And how do you think women, or why do women make bad choices? You mentioned a little bit about culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also get conditioned by many, many things. And we get conditioned by the modeling that we're taught in our family. We can get conditioned even before we are born, when family's may not be loving or be excited about new little baby in their life, there can be some conditioning even then that comes from mom or from dad to mom. And so there, I guess basically, Marina, it's Satan. Satan uses every opportunity to get women, particularly because they're very emotional and sensitive and relational, gets women to turn against themselves, to beat themselves up. And he can use any situation, any experience to bring that about.
So the enemy is working through family upbringing and also social conditioning to impact or affect the life choices of women.
Definitely. Yes.
And why should women confront their issues of shame and guilt, Mary?
Well, as Christians, we need to know God's kindness. Okay. And his kindness is what actually draws us out of that shame, draws us out of that guilt. So then we can be open to confessing it and repenting it to him. We know that guilt and shame are not of God. Guilt, let me say it again, guilt and shame are not of God. God provides us freedom through Christ. Guilt and shame, on the other hand, cause a distance and it hurts our relationship with God. We feel like, oh, we've got to get better. We've got to clean ourselves up. We got to try harder. We got to spend more time with him. So it hurts our relationship with God. We try to perform even for God. And then it hurts our relationship with ourselves. We tend to put ourselves last, not care for ourselves or beat ourselves up. And then it also hurts our relationship with others, because if we feel guilt, we feel shame, we don't want to get very close. We don't want to be very transparent. And so that allows all of us to wear masks and not really understand that we're all dealing with the same thing. So whether we feel like we made a mistake or we are a mistake, he wants to heal our broken heart and free us, so we can have a testimony. And I'm a testimony of that. When I was in my 20s, I made some terrible choices in relationships, and I was stuck in them for 3 years doing things that I never imagined that I would do. When the Lord brought me back to himself, I did not know what to do with that. And so I hid it. And then it became almost a way for me to analyze my background and start to find blame. Why would I do that? Oh, it must have become this or that. And so because I didn't confront shame and guilt when God had brought me back to himself, it caused a lot of pain for myself and others for many, many years. So I guess that's why this is such an important topic, because I want to help others not have to live all those years in isolation and wearing a mask.
You mentioned about you hiding your shame, Mary. Do you think that we women also do a lot of that, that we hide our shame, we hide our guilt, we hide a lot of stuff within us?
Well, we do, because we believe the lies that it's just us. Nobody else is dealing with this. We're the only ones. And if someone would know, then they wouldn't want to be our friend. They would judge us. And because we are living, kind of hiding our own pain and our own hurt and our own shame and guilt, yes, there is a great deal of judgment that comes on ourselves, but then it also is transferred to other people. So the unfortunate thing is that that just continues that isolation.
You talked about the heart. I like how you talked about the heart, because God wants our hearts. He doesn't look at outer appearance, I should say. He wants our heart. And that is so important.
Oh, you're right, Marina. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He sent Jesus to heal the brokenhearted. Mm-hmm. We want everyone to come to know Jesus as their Savior, but we want them to also come to know him as the healer of their broken heart. Because That is what pleases God's heart. Because, like I mentioned earlier, if we are not healed in our heart, we hide and then we have a distance with God. We try to perform for God. We have a distance with ourselves. We don't accept ourselves the way God made us and the giftings he gave us. And we hide ourselves from others because we just know they would vote us off the island. And so as we heal our heart, it's a process, but as God heals our heart by our cooperation, then we can begin to live the way he wants us to in relationship. And that's what women are wired for, relationship and love. And Satan will destroy that.
Absolutely. And as you were talking, how you said that, how we hide, it ties so much with what Adam and Eve were doing after they sinned. They hid.
Absolutely. We saw right there that they had the glory of being in relationship with the Lord, his offspring, his family, and they traded it for shame. And so secular psychology has been studying shame for a long time, and they have some understandings that, yes, we need to get out of it so we can get removed from it. But basically, they just help us manage it. But no, the Lord wants us to be healed from it and have that our broken heart healed so we don't have to live by managing it.
Exactly. And so, Mary, how can the Lord heal our heart? How can women overcome guilt and shame?
Well, in the Biblical Foundations of Freedom, that was the book that helped transform my life, Marina. And it lays out how to overcome guilt and shame. First of all, we accept, right? We have to accept, like I had to accept I was the person that did that. There were a lot of factors that contributed to it, but I had to accept, yes, I did that. I could not blame it. And once I accepted that, yes, I did that, then we could do the next part. Okay. Sometimes we also have to accept that these are the experiences that happened to us. If we don't, we live in denial, or we even go into disassociation sometime. And that is, God wants to bring healing from that. Those were maybe necessary at the time of the experiences, but as we grow in the Lord, he can bring healing. So we either accept that we did it or accept these things were done to us, and then we can repent. All right. But the second part of that is that we repent for beating ourselves up. Because we often, like I did for decades, hang on to the blame. How could I do that? I'm not a person that could do that. Well, I did that. But when we are able to say, okay, I forgive myself for doing that, and I forgive myself for blaming and beating myself up all these years and not accepting God's true forgiveness, then we can move to the third part, we can ask him to heal our heart and tell us the truth. And that simple process, we repent and then we forgive if we need to. We also repent of beating ourselves up about it. And we call it accusing spirits. The accusing spirits are the opposite of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts. Accusing spirits condemn. And so when we are listening to those accusing spirits, we're condemning ourselves. How could we do this? This we're horrible. How can God forgive us? He can love everyone else but us. And so we have to face that. That's not God. And we have to repent for doing something that's not what God wants. So it really is about being obedient. And seeing shame and guilt as what they are, sins that we can confess, repent, and then allow that healing and just ask him to heal our heart.
Is it a long healing process, or does it depend on each woman?
That's a good question. Through the 15 years that I've worked with many, many women, and there is not one woman, excuse me, that doesn't deal with guilt. Okay. They might start with forgiving someone else from their family, something that happened to them in their childhood. But then the next prayer is often, oh, but I've done this myself. Oh, I've done this to my children. Oh, I'm fearful that this is going to be like they live their life because of what I've done. And that is very scriptural, isn't it? Because the sins of the passed down. And so we might first start with a repentance prayer, and then we pray, oh, okay, forgive me, Lord, for doing this myself, but forgive me for beating myself up. And so those things are very universal. How long the process takes is very individual. Okay, it can be a few times, it can be a few times, and then something happens and it kind of brings that up again, so we revisit it. Or it can be a longer period of time that is very thorough and getting into those deep places where these lies of Satan have taken deep root.
Why do some women not want to confront shame or guilt in their lives, Mary?
It's very difficult. It's very difficult because Satan wants to convince us, like I mentioned, we're the only one. Nobody else has this problem. No one else has done this. And so we feel very isolated. And that's why the Lord has given us some wonderful verses. And secular psychology says this too. You need to move out of that cave of shame and guilt so you can come into the light. But with Christ, he gives us something called godly sorrow. All right. And in 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Women carry regret for so many things. But he's saying, once we give it to the Lord, we admit it. And then we ask him for forgiveness. We forgive ourselves. That leads us to the salvation. We're saved from that condemnation. We're saved from that constant accusing spirit. We're saved from having to continue to hide or wear a mask. And we can live in the present and in the future without regret. But worldly sorrow, it brings death. It brings death. I'm a witness to that. Many things in my life were not realized because I hid in guilt and shame for so many years. And God is redemptive. I do understand that. But we know that hanging on to God, worldly sorrow, is not of God, and it brings the opposite of life. It brings death. Another verse I really like is James 5:16. This is just wonderful. Therefore, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other. Not judge each other, pray for each other. Why? So that you may be healed. And then the very last part of that is the prayer of a righteous person has great power. So how we become righteous? We go, hallelujah, there's something here I need to repent. There's something I'm believing that's a lie about myself. And then we can have that confession, then we'll bring others support and prayer, resulting in the healing, resulting in the salvation.
What would you tell a person who doesn't have a strong relationship with the Lord, but does want emotional healing and struggles with going through the process because, like you said, it is so difficult to go through it?
The most difficult thing is to saying it the first time. Okay. So saying it the first time is the most difficult thing because you're resisting all of Satan's power over you to keep it quiet. Because he knows once you share, you're going to experience something that is going to help bring you some freedom. And this is so wonderful. The difficult part is just making that first appointment or saying that to someone, a confidant. And that then, after that, it's so much easier. So the difficult part is just saying it the first time. Okay. Then what can happen, even with people who are maybe a little skeptical or are not what we would say really strong in their faith, it is a beautiful thing, Marina, because I always ask permission once they tell me, and I hear the pain in their heart from guilt, from shame, what's been done to them or from what they've done. And then I ask them if I try to explain what that's about. And then I ask them if they would like to pray about it, if I could lead them in a prayer to get some freedom from this. And most of the time they are desperate. We'll talk a little bit later maybe about what are some of the symptoms of having guilt and shame, but they're desperate. And so they usually say yes. And then I get to lead them in this simple prayer, like I outlined for you. And then they experience God hearing their prayer. Because immediately that godly sorrow leads to repentance, which leads to salvation. So whether they say, oh, I want to know Jesus more, or whether they say, oh, I feel better, something left me. And so they began to have that experience. Once they have one experience of them trusting the process, so to speak, trusting me and me asking them for permission, they verbalize it themselves. And then that makes all the difference, because then they say, oh, that builds their faith. And so they're much more open to do it. So it's not painful. It's not arduous as much as it is just that first time of making that first statement that they feel embarrassed and shameful about.
What are some of the emotional and health symptoms or struggles that women experience if they don't confront shame in their lives?
These have been well studied, and the emotional struggles and symptoms are anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, not taking care of themselves, maybe even self-harm, putting everyone else first. Aggression can also be a symptom. There can be an isolation component to it, because it just gets overwhelming to manage and it's just easier to isolate. Obsessive compulsive disorder has a root in shame and guilt, and also post-traumatic stress disorder does too, because when someone's experienced a trauma, the enemy wants to bring accusing spirits, and often the accusing spirits come to the person that had the trauma themselves. It's Satan. It's just ruthless, and he tends to want to hurt children young and to continue to keep them in this lie.
Right, and his aim is to kill, steal, and destroy our lives.
Right. And so then it also impacts physical. And the research has shown arthritis is connected with guilt, insomnia, digestive problems, muscle tension. I often, when I work with people, you know, they start with their shoulders way up by their ears. And after a turn or two, you know, they're way down. So you can imagine the tension in, you know, dear women, they're carrying so much, and it's from their neck and shoulders and back. It's just binding them up, but also a lot of back problems, heart disease, asthma, and cancer. And cancer has a high correlation, particularly with guilt. And so there are lots of really good reasons to take that hard step of beginning to talk, to find a confidant, to share this, so then the light of the Lord can bring healing and freedom.
What are some of the emotional and health consequences that women experience if they do confront shame in their lives?
Well, this is wonderful. My testimony is I feel connected. God, I feel connected to God. He brings comfort. It's the God of all comfort. It's the lie of the enemy that we're going to be, you know, chastised and punished mm-hmm. and rebuked. No, he wants to comfort us and hold us and let us know that he cares so deeply. And then we can, we get a great deal of release because, like I mentioned, all the emotional and physical problems, those are really caused by the stress response that is in our body because of the guilt and the shame. And so we have a great deal of release in our body, in our soul, but also our spirit. We can be more in tune with the Holy Spirit because we're not feeling distant from him. And again, it's the conviction, not condemnation. And so we can say hallelujah when we recognize that instead of, oh no. And when we say hallelujah, we just say that simple prayer. And then we can experience that release over and over. Because this is a process. Because we're going to have things that we've done even today that, oh, why did I do that? Oh, instead of beating myself up, I can repent, or I can say, I'm not going to blame myself. You get out of here, Satan. I can catch it before it gets too deep. But we can also then have more open and understanding relationships with ourselves and other people. We can stop hiding. We can take down the mask. Mm-hmm. We're constant trying to please, or sometimes trying to be better than others, where we're always in comparison because we mm-hmm. just feel good enough about ourselves. And that will help us stay healthy in relationships, but also stay healthy physically. And I'm, again, a testimony to that. At 70 years old, I have none of those diseases that would have come on to me if I had not faced the level of guilt and shame I carried.
Praise God. We have liberation through Christ Jesus.
Yes, we do.
Who should they seek, Mary, for help in the areas of guilt and shame or any other area? And how do they know they have found the right counselor?
That's a great question. It is a spiritual issue, right? Shame and guilt is a spiritual issue. But would really, if all possible, people would choose someone who understands that guilt and shame is a spiritual issue. Okay. Mm-hmm. And not just help them manage it, but really help them overcome it with the power of the Lord. It would be helpful if they feel like someone is able to understand and get to the root of the problem mm-hmm. and help them see that by forgiving and repenting, then they can replace Satan's lies with the truth of God. That's mm-hmm. the whole process that we need to have done here, because it's the lies that cause the guilt. It's the lies that cause... Yes, we have that internal mechanism God's given us that, oh, that was not what I wanted to do. That mm-hmm. I hurt that person. Well, then that helps us to make different choices. That helps us to repair the relationship. But that is of God. But guilt that continues to beat ourselves up and shame that makes us feel like we're a mistake is not of God. So it's really important that we find somebody that has that understanding.
Right. Somebody who is sensitive to those issues and mm-hmm. That person is a Christian counselor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That would definitely, I think, be preferable.
Please share a recent testimony of a woman set free from shame and healed by Jesus.
I'm so excited. This just happened yesterday, and I got permission to share this. Nancy had struggled with her husband's behavior when he was drinking, and he would unleash his anger on her when other times he was loving and caring person. But he would criticize her, demean her, and be verbally abusive. But she felt the guilt and shame for his behavior. And she felt responsible for trying to stop it, trying to mitigate it, trying to change it. And so as we talked and prayed, the Holy Spirit put in my mind the word error. That sometimes we have an error in thinking that leads to some of this shame and guilt because she was taking on shame and guilt that wasn't hers. And Holy Spirit brought up, she said, absolutely. Before I married my husband, Nancy said, we had a mentor. And the mentor gently said to me, Nancy, honey, I've seen how Mark treats you when he's drinking. This may be an issue in your marriage. She loved him. She saw the good parts of him. And so she married him. 20 years later, that error had been haunting her every day, and particularly when this behavior came up again. And because of that, she felt like, well, I made the decision. I was warned. I just have to live with it. I've got to make this work. It's all my fault. And so as we prayed about that, she was able to release that lie and release that regret and release that responsibility and release that guilt and shame. And she was transformed in her expression on her face. And I meet many women who go back to that original, oh, someone warned me, I shouldn't have done this. Or someone told me this and I went along with it. I said, okay, so it's all my fault and I have to carry all the responsibility of it the rest of my life. Or even things like, I didn't go back to school. I took a different path and now I just, you know, I'm feeling like I'm left out. I didn't fulfill what I should have. So these regrets from these decisions made in the past are of Satan to kill, steal, and destroy. Our wonderful Savior can redeem anything.
Yes, and he came to give us life and life more abundantly.
Yes, he did, Marina. Yes. Yes, amen.
And what a beautiful testimony the day before we are sharing this topic about the cause and cure of shame for women, Mary.
Isn't that, Scott is so good.
God is so good.
Someone needed to hear that. I wouldn't have originally thought of that topic, so to speak, but many, many women have regrets of choices they made of who to marry or who not to marry or things that they had made, life path decisions. But God came to heal.
Exactly. Heal the broken heart
and give us life and redeem what's been taken.
Yes, he's our healer, he's our provider, and he is our miracle worker. Thank you, Mary, for being on Faith City Outreach to discuss and bless us with today's topic, the cause and cure of shame for women. May God continue to bless your healing ministry, Mary, and please give a word of wisdom and encouragement to women who are listening right now to this discussion and are suffering and hiding from shame.
Thank you, Marina. This has been just wonderful. And I want to say to you, if God can bring healing to me, he can bring healing to whatever situation that you're feeling stuck in, that you're hiding in. And I failed to mention this earlier. I would love to offer each person listening today a opportunity to do a prayer ministry session so you could actually experience what I've experienced, what I've helped through the Lord's work over 15 years helped other women experience. So you can reach me at 623-734-4800, Mary Buckman, at 623-734-4800. And I want to tell you, the best is yet to come. I don't know where that comes from. I never say that, but I want to say that for you because you have been suffering far too long. And the Lord has his hand out for you today. Just take it and make that step forward. Bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Global Gospel Worship Radio with Marina Maria, where all the nations praise the Lord with Christian international music and radio programs. For more information about our radio ministry, please go to globalgospelworshipradio.org. And now we'd like to bless you with this scripture from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Thanks for listening.